Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Fourth hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game on this Monday. We say hello to Caleb Joseph. We always enjoy our conversations with him. Caleb, how you doing?
Doing great. Just still waiting. Still waiting like everybody else.
Do you feel good about this wait, or are you starting to get nervous about this season?
No, I really do. I feel good about it. We had a conference call with our representative that meets with the players' union, and we really think we're going to end up playing. It may not be July 1st, 2nd, 3rd. We really feel like we're going to get some games in, trying to get it going as fast as we can, trying to start it up. We're all anxious to play and anxious to get out there and bring some hope back to just the sport of baseball, really, and everybody else, and give people something to watch at night.
No doubt about it. Do you think it's realistic to really try to get in 114 games in this regular season?
If they take it to October 31st, I do, with the expanded potential 30, 31 player roster size. I really think that you can play a couple doubleheaders. And look, I mean, the players want to do it. So everybody that I've talked to, we're all in agreement that we want to play as many as we can. The extra players are going to help with the extra games in terms of pitching. The first thing I think about is just pitchers. I mean, I think hitters can get ready in 2 weeks. You have to assume these pitchers have been doing a lot, but, you know, you can't – everybody's different, right? So you're going to need the first game of the season, if it is July 3rd or 4th, you may have a pitcher only go 4 or 5 innings, max, maybe. So you're going to need coverage, and then you're going to need that the next day. And these extra players, I think you're going to help cover some of those early issues, and then hopefully you get rolling where the pitchers are on more of a normal schedule, maybe 4 or 5 weeks into it, and then it really starts to be a benefit to have those extra players.
You've been at this for a long time, and so you've played a variety of schedules coming up through the ranks and then in the bigs, and so you've seen it from 162 and on down, even going back to college. So what do you think is the right amount? Are you okay? Do you think there's going to be a rethink on how long the season needs to be, or do you think 162 is the right number, or do you think when we see this play out, maybe it'll change the mindset a little?
Right. It's always been kind of a topic up for debate. It's a great question. I mean, it's always been 162 since I think I've been alive. And I do think that it could be shortened up a little bit and you'd still get the same results in terms of the best teams usually coming out on top. I mean, think about how September used to work. I know this is probably the first year that they weren't going to have the quote expanded roster where you have 40 guys. But I mean, September was pretty much a free for all. I mean, you'd have 35 guys playing on each team in one single game. And so if you take those 30 games out, that's 132 games. I really think that you want to play as many as you can because it gives people stuff to do constantly every single night. But in the same sentence, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, I think. So if you do take an extra 4 or 5 days a month, maybe, you may get a couple more people to come out to the games. And honestly, I mean, it is every single day. And
yeah,
you are there every day.
Yeah.
And as a player, you know, a lot of people go to the games. They don't necessarily think about, I guess, the player that literally plays 28 out of 30 days that month, you know. So we like to have lives too, you know, even though that's our job. But I think players would probably get on board for about 140, 142, but then again, there's consequences to that.
Or you could expand the playoffs to help you know, with that a little bit and expand it that way and try to make it up on the other end, because we live in now a mindset with professional athletes where, you know, we've got a phrase called, you know, load management, and their players are always talking about, you know, taking nights off or, you know, trying to brace for the bigger picture of playoffs. And, you know, I mean, there is no bigger grind than a baseball travel. I mean, not only are you playing the most amount of games, and it's not even close, the travel of a season, to cut down on games and travel, I would have to believe you guys, it would feel different to your body, would it not, and your mind?
It would. Take a West Coast trip, for example, when you are playing on a team in the East Coast. When I was with Baltimore for a number of years, we'd make those West Coast trips. We'd be out there for 10 days. The good thing is we'd have an entire full travel day to get there. And after that last game, we have an entire full travel day to come home. So your body adjusts a lot better when you have a full 24 hours. Most of the time, especially on weekdays, we'll play 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock games and be in Baltimore, play a 7 o'clock game, get on the airplane at 10, 11, 12, fly to Texas, play that night in Texas. And those turnarounds and those late nights and all those things, if you, like you were talking about, if you, especially with the travel, if you were able to break those up and have a whole day off on a travel day right when you're about to start the next road trip or coming back from a road trip, those type of things, it really would help. And you'd probably see guys able to recover faster and able to produce at even higher clip, even though they're at the top of the world in terms of production. But it's amazing how everybody comes back after a day off. They all come back with this little spike of energy, and they're excited to see everybody else, because you can imagine being in the same clubhouse and locker room with the same 30, 35 guys for 162 days out of 182 days.
Talking to Caleb Joseph and talking about the potential of baseball getting back up and running here very, very soon. And Caleb, I know there's been a lot of rhetoric out there shared and concern about the two sides coming together, but you seem to be showing a lot of optimism today. Just with the players' proposal that's been reported, there was a lot of talk about some doubleheaders. And I think the first time we had John, we were thinking about, you know, a seven-inning doubleheader like they do in the minor leagues some. Is that in your mind how you would get more games in, maybe some seven-inning doubleheaders?
I think that's on the table right now. Again, over the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, you know, as you can imagine, we're throwing everything around, and it's like this huge vacuum, and everything will kind of circle back to one issue and then get off track on this issue and then come back around. And so the last I heard, they were thinking about seven-inning doubleheaders, and that is actually pretty fun because it's only two-inning difference. And people say, well, it's just two innings. It shouldn't be that big of a deal. But, I mean, it is unbelievable how different the game is in a seven-inning game. It is unreal. And it's sort of like a chess game going, you know, moving into a checkers game. You know, it's like it moves so much quicker. And I thought they were kind of fun, you know, playing in the minor leagues. And so I'd be up for that. And it kind of forces you to really make moves quicker, and it doesn't seem like it's only six more outs on each side of the baseball for the team, but it's unbelievable how much that strategy has changed. I would be all for it, Willie.
This may be sensitive for you to discuss because I don't want to put you in a bad position, but I know the money issue is a sensitive one and a tricky one going forward. How many fans are going to come in? How much revenue is going to be generated? But in a general sense, do you feel like you're making some headway on that, trying to close that gap?
Yeah, I do. I think the proposal was that MLB sent over, I think it kind of took some people aback. We really felt like that what we agreed to in March was done, and that part of the negotiation was finished, and we're still sticking to that. And, you know, I can't help it, but there's a lot of people out there that, oh, it's millionaires arguing with billionaires, this and that, and whatever. And I would just remind people that the earning span of a Major League Baseball player is super small. So take me, for example. I'm 34 years old. I've been able to play 5 or 6 years in the big leagues, but I'm at the end of this thing, and I'm at the end of the rope. And so, you know, once it's done, the baseball's over. I'm have to find something else to do. So a lot of people, they talk about, well, just play for nothing now, and then next year you'll do this and do that. Well, I mean, there may not be a next year for me, you know. So, and it's all these type of things that we're having to take into consideration. And we just really felt like that part of the negotiation was agreed upon weeks and weeks ago, so that we didn't have to be in this spot. But we do feel like there's going to be a baseball season. I couldn't say that 2 weeks ago, and the reports coming out may try to seem differently, but I really feel like here in the next week to 10 days, you're going to see a lot of people in their cars headed down to Florida or Arizona or wherever the final arrangements are, and baseball will be starting back up.
Another thing that I think a lot of fans fail to realize sometimes when they see the salaries that major league players make is not only the limited window that you earn that, but also what you have to do to get to that. And you certainly spent plenty of time in the minor leagues, Caleb, getting up to that ability to make a great living that you can as a major league baseball player. And I want to pick your brain about the proposed and what appears to be on the horizon for the whole minor league system. It does look like they're going to revamp that in the minors as we know it. I got a chance to play, you know, a couple of summers in the New York Penn League and the Pioneer League. I have great stories to tell for a lifetime from that. But it sounds to me like they're going to change that model some. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's disheartening, really. I mean, I think the last player maybe to not literally play a game in the minor leagues was Mike Leake, and then going back to even Robin Ventura. So you look at guys like Mike Trout played in the minor leagues. Everybody that is in the big leagues played in the minor leagues. You have to play. And, of course, yes, well, not all of them are going, but these steps are vital. And imagine going from middle school straight to your junior year in high school, or even your freshman year in high school, jumping all the way to your sophomore year in college. Like this is the type of drastic change that each level is. And it doesn't seem like much, but it really, every level really does have a new advancement and a new way of separating the other players. And every level, you get better and better and better. And those steps are vital and necessary for baseball players. You just don't shoot up like the NFL guys go straight from playing in their bowl games to the NFL, it seems like. I mean, it's just such a process. And I'm extremely disheartened to see that they're potentially cutting down a lot of these teams that are vital and necessary. And quite honestly, Willie, I mean, a lot of these teams, that this is a huge event for these cities, these kind of not obscure cities, but kind of smaller cities like in Aberdeen, Maryland, just kind of tucked sure. away. They've got their own little ball field. All these places that, like you said, I've got tons of stories from. I probably got more stories from the minor leagues than I have in the major leagues. And the interaction you have with these people, and these people live, eat, breathe, sleep it, and the prospect of these cities losing teams is incredibly disheartening. And if anybody ever asks me to join some sort of organization, so I'm going to fight like all get out just to keep these, because I know how important it is to the people that live in those cities, you know, and that's a huge revenue for them in terms of enjoyment, fun, escape. And we don't want that to happen. Plus, it helps the players out. I'm totally against it, Willie.
And a point that was made, I think it was the Royals, and I think it was Dayton Moore that put this out there, just trying to stand behind the minor leaguers. He made a great point about the investment that you make in the minors, not only to develop major leaguers, but you got baseball fans and ambassadors for life. You know, the ex-minor leaguers go on to be coaches, you know, whether it's a little league team or a high school team, and they love the game, and they pass along that love everywhere else. So I just think every place that you don't have that team anymore, that exacts a big price. I know you might save a little money on the front end, but what are you going to lose on the back end with that?
Right. Just throwing money at a community and trying to start up an organization won't really fix any sort of issue. Look, Willie, I mean, My grandfather had season tickets to the Nashville Sounds when I was growing up. I was small. I enjoyed going there. I wanted to go there, and that's where my love of baseball really clicked, in my opinion. I ended up working for the Sounds when I was in high school. I was a little clubhouse kid, and it was this type of opportunity that I had. And, I mean, I've played in the minor leagues. There are kids that are working for these minor league teams that aspire to be baseball players or just anything involved with the game, whether, like you said, it goes on to be a high school coach or open their own private facilities. I know tons of people that didn't make it into professional baseball or whatever, but the love of the game because of those minor league cities that they grew up watching and going to, they form relationships, and before you know it, one, two, three guys that are huge baseball fans, they go in on a facility, and that feeds, it's like it's just like milk. It feeds the growth of the sport to all the younger generations. And I'm telling you, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of thousands of thousands of kids that went to minor league games that their love of the game was watching those guys in the stands because it was incredibly affordable in the place they lived, and they loved it. And they're fans from now on. And we need to keep the fans. You know what I mean? It's those type of people that go and take a road trip to a major league city. You know, it's that's what we did. We didn't have a major league city. So we went to Atlanta. We went to St. Louis because we loved going to these minor league games. The love grew. We wanted to go to the big thing, and we took trips and did it.
We're talking to Caleb Joseph, Toronto Blue Jays catcher, about all things going on in baseball right now. So, you know, we've talked a lot about a lot of different aspects of trying to get an agreement in place to get you guys back on the field. Do you feel like, though, that everybody from the health and safety standpoint, that both the players and owners, everybody appears to be on the same page with that?
Yeah, there's one thing that there, in my opinion, there's complete solidarity in, and that is the steps and requirements that are going to be necessary to continue playing, where we respect not only everybody's needs, wants, desires, feelings, fans' needs, fans' desires, in terms of, you know, we don't want to leave and create this bubble that we get to do whatever we want while everybody else. Does that make sense? I'm trying to have a
sure.
I'm having a hard time like explain what I'm thinking, but there's going to be a lot, and that's why it may take another week to 10 days, because we want to make sure we get it right in terms of the safety and protocols, because there are people with high risk. I have two teammates that have little girls that are under 5 years old that have respiratory issues, and you're balancing, okay, what does work and real life look like, and where do those meet, and does the risk reward level out? And so we've got to be kind of understanding and considerate of all these types of situations. And so I firmly believe that there is 100% solidarity on figuring those issues out and how best we can navigate that. Because at the end of the day, everybody wants to play baseball. We want to be a success, not, well, we wanted to rush this process, so we went so fast that we missed this and missed that and missed this, and now we're having to cancel season because we've got this and this and that going. So I really think they're spending a lot of time on that, and it's worth a lot of time.
Do you guys, and that kind of leads me into my next question, have you all paid attention to what other leagues are doing? I mean, is that something that you have to worry about your own backyard and what you guys are looking for as players? But is there a sense of, all right, the NHL has their plan and the NBA seems to be having one? Is that something that you're paying attention to, or you just try to focus on what's going on in your sport?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think we're seeing these other things and the wheels of the other sports starting to churn, and it gives us more hope that it can happen, that, okay, if some of these other folks are able to figure it out, then America's pastime should be able to figure it out. I mean, and I think the main thing that I'm paying attention to is what's going on over in Asia from a baseball standpoint. You've got
sure.
Japan and Korea that are ramping it up. So we want to be playing, you know what I mean? So this is America's pastime. There's so many people that I've talked to over the last 6 to 8 weeks that are not diehard baseball fans, just kind of casual here and there, flip it on, oh, there's a game, I'll just watch it for a couple minutes, that have told me I am so ready to watch a baseball game, and I don't think I've ever really realized how much I liked baseball until this happened. So we are so anxious and ready to get out on the field, start playing, give people something to do, give people something to cheer about, give people something else to talk about on Twitter than what all is going on right now. Let people start arguing about who's got the best pitcher and who's got the best batter. Like, let's give them something to talk about. But we're ready to go, and so we really think something's going to happen pretty soon.
You brought up earlier of the time that a pitcher needs to get ready and hitters. You obviously are a hitter, but you're also a catcher. How difficult is it for you to – you started going through the process, you're getting to know your pitchers, you're getting to know their tendencies, but now you kind of have to redo that, pick that up again. So what is the process for you as a catcher of trying to learn – the guy's throwing you the ball?
Yeah. To be honest with you, that job really never changes because you're dealing with humans. So even at game 45 of the season, you're still learning new things about pitchers and how they would like to do this and do that. And it just takes a lot of trial and error and hit and miss stuff. But you're right. It was frustrating, especially going to a new team, feeling like, okay, I'm finally getting a grasp on this player, that player, what he likes to do, what he doesn't like to do, and then pump the brakes, stop, see you later. And there's been this sort of odd absence. The only experience I have that I could slightly pull from is All-Star break. So when you go home, I know it's only like 4 or 5 days, but it does feel like a month when you've been with somebody every single day, and then you do go back. It takes a few days, but then you get going and you start rolling. And, guys, we've been doing this for years and years and years, and it's just part of our DNA and part of our blood. So you just find ways to have conversations. And I feel like we're going to have a lot of time to sit back and talk and make sure that we're all on the same page. But reality is we're probably going to have a shortened spring training, and we're going to start hitting games, and everybody's in this situation. That's a good thing. It's not just the Toronto Blue Jays. Every single team's in this exact same situation. So the first month of the season, it may be a little crazy. And it's going to be crazy for a lot of teams. So it's going to be about who can figure it out the fastest and who can make the quickest adjustments and who can do those things and be successful.
As we wrap this up with this extra time, have you been working on the air drums?
I've been enjoying my little electric set, to be honest with you, Darren. I mean,
Really?
I've got it up in the house, and I mean, I don't ever get to play them during the season, so I've been escaping up there with the headphones and just beating on those things and enjoying it. But I've been staying busy out in the yard. I'll tell you what, I got a honey-do list that just keeps growing. You know, I mean, I pull all the weeds and trim the flowers, and then something else picks up. So I've been staying busy, but it's been good. It's been good being home. I didn't realize I had bushes that actually make color until this year because I'm never around them
right.
In the summertime. So I'm sitting here going, goodness, I have rose bushes that actually look pretty good. You know, when I usually have them, they're brown.
Yeah, you never see them bloom.
That's right.
Was the Blue Jays spring training, was that the biggest audience you've ever had for a little air drum session?
Oh, yeah. I mean, trying to rally a country, you know.
That was sold out.
That
was sold out of event. That was really good.
Yeah. I mean, I was nervous. I was sweating. I was nervous, but I think it went okay. We'll have to pull a little air drum, like, 2.0. I think the last time I was on with you guys, I told you I was going to do it, and I've muffed it. So maybe I'll have to shoot one tonight or something.
I like it. We'll be watching if you do. Thanks for the visit. As always, you and the family continue to be safe, and hopefully we'll be talking about your sport real soon.
Let's do it. Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Caleb Joseph, Nashvillian. We always enjoy our conversations with the Toronto Blue Jays. He is their Toronto Blue Jays catcher, and if you haven't seen the video of him in spring training back in February with his entire team watching and him,
feels like forever ago,
paying homage, I know it does, to to Neil Peart and Rush, go check it out. It's fantastic. It is really good. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.